I talk with the Lord many nights by my bedside. I ask His forgiveness as I knelt to pray. If I could repay, I'd be only too willing. For He died on the cross just to save me from sin. There's a light guiding me, I can see heaven's glory, and He holds me steadfast, and His wind is love. He's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above, to the far distant shore. Many friends have gone from me. They're singing the victory of God's love I know. Through the valley of death, I'll be led by Jesus. He will carry me through, though I'm weak and low. There's a light guiding me, I can see heaven's glory, and He holds me steadfast, and His way and His love. He's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. When that great day comes and I see heaven's glory, I know that my soul will be free from all care. They'll open the gates and bid me to enter. When the rolls call up yonder, I know I'll be there. There's a light guiding me, I can see heaven's glory. And He holds me steadfast in His way and His love. He's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. When that great day comes and I see heaven's glory, I know that my soul will be free from all care. He'll open the gates and bid me to enter. When the rolls call up yonder, I know I'll be there. There's a light guiding me, I can see heaven's glory. And He holds me steadfast in His way and His love. He's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are lit up somewhere beyond the blue. The angel beckoned me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, heaven's not my home, oh Lord, what will I do? The angel beckoned me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take true, though I am weak and poor, and I can't be at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angel beckoned me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land we'll live eternally. The saints of every hand are shouting victory. Their song of sweetest praise lives back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angel beckoned me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
My Emmanuel, you are with me.
There's nowhere you won't be.
If I take the wings of the morning or fall into the deepest sea, even there, you are with me. If I ascend up to heaven or make my bed below, I know your hand will hold me wherever I may go.
Before I was formed, you already knew my days. Lord, I have no secrets. You know every path I take. My Emmanuel, you are with me. There's nowhere you won't be. If I take the wings of the morning or fall into the deepest sea, even there, you are with me. Lord, I'm always in your presence. I cannot hide from your love. You're behind me and before me, underneath and up above, the darkness and the light are both the same to you. I wouldn't hide from your spirit, even if I wanted to. My Emmanuel, you are with me, oh Emmanuel. There's nowhere you won't be. If I take the wings of the morning or fall into the deepest sea, even there, you are with me. How precious are your thoughts, O God, you're always on me. More in number than the sand, my Emmanuel. You are with me, O Emmanuel. There's nowhere you won't be. If I take the wings of the morning or fall into the deepest sea, even there, you are with me. Lord, I'm always in your presence. I cannot hide from your love. You're behind me and before me, underneath and up. up above the darkness and the light. I both the same to you. I couldn't hide from your spirit, even if I wanted to. My Emmanuel, you are with me, oh Emmanuel. There's nowhere you won't be. If I take the wings of the morning or fall into the deepest sea, even there, you are with me.
I guess we should pity the man of this world who must use the earth for a bit.
And I guess we should pity the man who must toil
from dawn to dusk for his bread. But these can be rich if they have contentment and sharing a salvation plan. But if you know any, know they have plenty, are lost and pity the man.
Pity the man who has treasures to hold and holds not the pearl of great price. Pity the man who lives longer, yet he has not the giver of life. Doctor or lawyer, traveler or merchant, or builder builds on the sand. Pauper or king, to be saved is the thing. It is lost and pity the man. And I guess there are those who pity the saved, as though they were missing love's best. Oh dear, forgetting the treasures of earth pass away, and heaven is the place to invest. Dear, meanwhile esteeming the man who is scheming to hold all wealth that he can. But if one is living to God, he's not giving his soul and pity. Pity the man who has treasure to hold, and knows not the pearl of great price. Pity the man who lives longer, yet he knows not the giver of life. Doctor or lawyer, traveler or merchant, our builder builds on the sand. Upper king, to be saved is the thing. It is lost and pity the man. And I guess there are those who pity the saved, as though they were missing love's best.
But you're forgetting the treasures of earth pass away, and heaven is the place to invest.
And meanwhile esteeming the man who is scheming to hold all the wealth that he can. But if one is living to God, he's not giving his soul, then pity the man. Pity the man who is treasures to hold, and hold not the pearl of great price. Pity the man who lives longer, yet he knows not the giver of life. Doctor or lawyer, traveler or merchant, our builder builds on the sand. Pauper or king, to be saved is the thing. If lost, then pity the man. Pity the man who has treasures to hold, and holds not the pearl of great price. Pity the man who He lives on earth, yet he knows not the giver of life. Doctor or lawyer, traveler or merchant, or builder of bells on the sand. Pauper or king to be saved is the thing. Is lost and pity the man. Yeah, we run into them from time to time. Completely sold out to materialism. Which is all right if you get it set up right, that your soul is more important than the things of this world. You got to get that right first. And then if the Lord leads you down that path, good for you. But if you put materialism ahead of the Lord, of your soul, then definitely pity the man. That, like I say, we run into these characters from time to time. And kind of a sad situation, really.
Wealth, never, you're never satisfied with wealth. That's why people, when they pursue wealth, they always want more. And it's just like a roller coaster. You can't get off because it's just how it works. It's just one bigger and better all the time. When you're content with what you have, that's where the blessings lie.
Yeah, that rich young ruler that came to Jesus, he asked him, "What lack are yet?"
Mm-hmm.
As he was consumed with wealth in his hour back in the day. And that's all that materialism can bring. And at the end of it all, what lack are yet? Because you'll always lack. See, you and I, we don't have no lack. Because we put the Lord up first of all, and then the Lord gives you a blessing, well, so be it.
Yeah.
But we don't have to say, what lack I yet? Because we got everything.
Yeah, because Jesus said to him, he said, if you go sell everything you have and give it to the poor and take up your cross and follow me, then you will have treasures in heaven. And then you will make yourselves treasures in heaven. See, that's what he was lacking. And he was wanting something. He knew he was lacking something because he kept all the commandments since he was young. But he knew that when he came to Jesus, there must be something more. And when Jesus told him what he lacked, and then he went from Jesus and he was down and he was sad because his heart was on his riches and he knew that he could not give them up.
Yeah, like I say, we run into these characters over the course of my sojourn here on earth. It's kind of sad that they would sell out their soul to materialism. And they're very successful. And I tell you what, but that's not my interest.
Mm-hmm. A lot of them, they do to prove to people that they can really make a name for themselves, you know. I think I could have been caught up in the same rhetoric, but the Lord had a different path for me. But like, if you surrender your ways to Him, then He will lead your lives. We don't have to keep up with the Joneses. We don't have to prove to nobody anything, but to the Lord to do His will.
Amen to that. But, you know, it screws on. We decided one day we want to follow Jesus. We saw what the world has, but they didn't. It did do nothing for us. But, you know, the truth is marching on, whether people are on board or not. They can go out and do their thing, but see, you and I, we want truth. Above everything else, we want truth. And in order when you want truth, you gotta move. When truth comes your way, you gotta jump on the wagon and follow truth no matter what it costs. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
Genesis 4. Start on verse 3. At the designated time, Cain brought some of the fruit of the ground for an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought some of the firstborn of his flock, even the fattest of them, and the Lord was pleased with Abel and his offering. But with Cain and his offering he was not pleased. So Cain became very angry, and his expression was downcast. That's the biblical history. That's the first. We want to talk about that altar today. And the first altar that was ever on planet Earth for the last 6,000 years was right here. The first sacrifice that was made was kind of a time when Cain and Abel, they were the only two boys that were here. I guess when the kept their maturity, to the age of accountability, and then they did it what people still do to this day. They want to bring God a sacrifice, and then they one day came to that age of accountability, and then they brought a sacrifice to the Lord, or the first altar. It was an altar of sacrifice where Cain and Abel put that lamb on there, and then. And Cain, he brought his sacrifice too, and he brought from the food, from the garden, the vegetables and the fruit. And oh, if you were living back then you looked at these two altars, and then the two sacrifices on that altar, you would have definitely favored Cain's way above Abel's, because there's Abel with a lamb bloody and bleeding, and then over there is Cain, like the natural, if you look at it, in the natural, and oh man, beautiful vegetables and fruit and the best of the best. And I'm sure he, like if you were living back then, you wouldn't be looking at Cain as we look at Cain from today. That's when we look right back. He was the best of the best. He went out and got the best of the best because he was a gardener. Because his dad was a gardener too. That serpent, he kept things going in the garden. And then here comes Cain, and Cain, he'll be doing the same thing. He was all consumed up with bringing with gardening, mm-hmm. and that was his job, wasn't it? And then he brought the Lord a sacrifice to the best ability, to the best of his ability, to the best thing that they know how. But just the natural trend of things. You got to look. You got to look at reality. You got to go back and see exactly what, like I say, when you look back now, we know Cain made a bad choice, and we know where Cain is from and all that. But and then here comes Abel. He brings a lamb, and the Lord had favor with Abel's choice, and he ignited it. And of course, that's what still people do today. When they come up to a certain age in their life, they've got a feeling in their heart and their makeup, they want to bring a sacrifice to the Lord. You see it all around you. It's the same pattern. It's the same pattern today. You know, there came a day when you had to make a sacrifice to the Lord, and you looked at everything around, and we keep repeating it, and you looked at, oh, what are you going to bring the Lord? There's a sacrifice to be brought. Like the word is full of, the Bible is full of altars, you know, but it's what you put on that altar of sacrifice. It's got to be something that you put on that altar. Like I say, we look around and we take inventory of ourselves, and we take inventory of what other people do and what they've done, and there's the odd one that'll bring a sacrifice to the Lord. But like back there in the days of Adam, Cain and Abel, Cain brought the fruit of the garden, and Abel brought the best of his flock. It says here, he brought the best, the fattest, probably his little pet there, who knows. But he brought the best of his flock, and he offered it up to the Lord God of glory. And the Lord was pleased with it. That's what these two boys did. And the Lord ignited Abel's sacrifice because it presented something. He got it by revelation because it presented the Lord Jesus Christ down through time. God's going to put Jesus Christ on the altar of sacrifice. The very best thing that he had, his only begotten son. And that's what happened back then. And it keeps on going. You can go look to biblical history and you can find exactly how people come to the age of accountability. And then many times through emotion, they feel mm-hmm. something moving in that's their right. makeup mm-hmm. that they want to please the Lord. And that's right. the same thing with you and I. We come up to the age of a certain, we had come to a crossroad in our lives. And I remember back in the day, the Lord was moving on me to step up to the plate and take about this thing that was going on in the group we were living in, that Hutterite colony. We knew how corrupt things were going, and we wanted to do something about it, and the only thing we could do, if we do what we need to do, what we should do, it's going to cost me everything. So what I had to put my, I knew it's going to cost me my wife, it's going to cost me my children. I knew it's going to cost me everything that I ever worked for to go up and talk to these leaders in that outright church that they're corrupt and expose that spirit that's driving them. And before, leave you me, before I opened my mouth and before I went up and say the things that I did say, I knew what it's going to cost me because I watched how they operated. I watched how that J.K. Operated. Anybody would oppose him. He would just, like he did down at that Rock Lake colony, that Ben opposed him in that tent. So what did he do? He goes down there and he disconnects him. He puts him in the outs and he puts up his own puppet government, that chill in that truck. Because they were just his puppets. And see, that's the price you had to pay. And then I watched these oohs here from Espenheim, how they tried to go up and challenge him, and eventually they were disconnected, and they were put in the outs because that guy had full reign. And I observed all these things, and I watched what the price is going to be if you go up and you say your opinion, and it's going to cost you everything that you ever worked for. Spent a lot of time. The Lord was preparing me. Some way, someday, I'm going to have to go up against that hierarchy. And I just know in my heart, it's going to cost me everything. So I had to put that, all of that, out on the altar of sacrifice. And you know the story. The end of the day came. You, Sam, you don't have nothing. These dead wives, they don't belong to you. Your children, they don't belong to you. They belong to the church. And on the rhetoric went, but see, I had to put, determined in my heart, I'm going to put it on, I'll be willing to lose it all and put it all on that altar of sacrifice. It's all the long and the short of it. Of course, it went through a lot of red tape and dingling back and forth, but at the end of the day, I was terminated simply because I put that altar on the altar of sacrifice, and to this day, I'm still paid for it. We're still in the outs. And then the same thing with you. When you came up to a certain age, where every young girl, you know, they look at things and you had to make a decision. You were at the crossroads and you were challenged. You were asked, Lorraine, what are you going to do with your life? Are you going to get married What are you going to do? And you just flat out told your brother, I'm going to see what the Lord has for me. You're going to put everything on hold, and you're just going to see what the Lord will have for me to do. And that's where you're here. That's where you and I, why you and I are together, because we put that whole thing on the altar of sacrifice. Like I keep saying, the world is full of altars. The world is full of people that somewhere along the road of life, they made a decision to do their thing, to bring their sacrifice and to bring their thing before the Lord. I remember that Dave Waller back in the day when I was terminated from the colony. I had a lot to do with him. I even went to a church there, and then one day he told me he wants to start up a radio ministry and do things for the Lord like Cain did back then. He wanted to bring a sacrifice to the Lord, and what does he do? He wants to start up a radio ministry. He wants to do his own thing, and he wants to, that's what his plan was, that's what he was bringing to the Lord. Just like Cain, he's going to do something for the Lord. He's going to bring a radio ministry, and he's going to have an outreach thing, and he wants to save souls, but he's doing it his way, you know. It's just to make, at the bottom line, at the end of it all, he was just seeing if he can't make a name for himself. Instead of giving his, let the Lord deal with his life. Lord, here I am. Take my life and do with it as you want. Mm-hmm. Put it, really, at the end of the day, put your will on that altar. That's the bottom right. line. Uh-huh. That's what you and I have to do.
It's like there is an altar, like you make an altar, but what do you sacrifice on that altar? Like if you, like trying to go make a name for yourself and things of that nature, that is not a sacrifice. It's something that you give up for God, mm-hmm. and then you surrender your will to Him. Just mm-hmm. like Jesus in the garden, He sacrificed His life for us, and that was that real Passover lamb, that sacrifice that He made for us to atone, like for the atonement of sin. He gave up His life. That was a sacrifice. That's the same way with Abel. He made a sacrifice there to God when he killed that lamb and he offered it up to God. Like the fruits of the field, that is really not a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. That's just your own idea of what God would want. And then the same way with our lives, like we had to sacrifice something. Like you would sacrifice your family for standing up against these preachers and presenting them the truth. And then the same way with me, I sacrifice like the things that any natural person wants, that give it up and see where God will lead you. Like, and you sacrifice it. That is a real sacrifice. There's a lot of altars being made around the world. People make them all the time. But what do they really sacrifice on it?
Amen to that. Heavenly Father, we want to come before your presence, Lord. Give you thanks for another day of life, for the many things you do for us, Lord, simply because we've surrendered our life to you, Lord. Now, you see, honestly, with our own heart, take our life, take our will, take everything we have, Lord, and we do it as you see fit. We finally come to that maturity, Lord, where we can say, thy will be done, Lord. We just pray to continue to use us for your honor and for your glory, Lord. Help us to go through this life, that we don't have a wasted life, that we get have regrets when we get to leave this world, when we look back with it, we'd have done the right thing, that we made a proper decision, Lord. We just pray that we put everything on the altar of sacrifice, Lord. We just help us not to play games, but help us to live a life so that we'll receive our full reward, Lord. We just pray you continue to do with us as you see fit. And Lord, I pray you open the hearts of the people, and Lord, give that increase. Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, when you go to biblical history, you can see altars. There's some that are good and some that are bad. These pagan worshippers, they had an altar. They, 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 They did their thing and their altar, and then there was the Elijah. He had his altar, and all these men of God, he had an altar, and then what they put on that altar is what matters. Everybody, it's all about an altar, and then what people put on that altar. Like I was telling you, when it came to my situation, I had to put everything on the altar, sacrifice, and Lord, and just to go up and sort more or less bell that cat. I'm not bragging, it's just something in my makeup that I could not sleep at night. I couldn't be satisfied when I saw the corruption creeping in, and nobody, there was no Queen Esther to be found. Like when Queen Esther, she put her whole life on a line for her people back in the day, and she went up to the king. She didn't know if that king's going to put out his sword towards her and save her life. She said, well, if I die, I die. And then she was willing to give her life because if it was all in the hands of the king, how he's going to react when she comes before the king. And then she said, if I die, I die. And like, she put that on the altar of sacrifice. And to this day, she goes down in biblical history as really something special, simply because she did make a sacrifice. And that's all what this is about. We want to go through life that having made the proper decision, like I say, it wasn't easy for me. The Lord had to deal with me for about 2 years to kind of break me down where I could finally say, thy will be done. And it's really, at the end of the day, what you're putting on that altar, is it, like the world is full of altars. Mm-hmm. But when you, the only thing that you can really put on that altar that really counts is your will. Like mm-hmm. you give up your will, you give up your opinion, you give up your dreams. Just like you had a, like every girl has dreams and aspirations. I'm going to get myself educated, and I'm going to make a big name for myself. I'll become a lawyer or a doctor or something out there in the worldly setting. And see, you have to put that on the altar of sacrifice, your dream, your aspirations, and then we finally come to the place, Lord, thy will be done in my life. Mm-hmm. And that's just that simple. And now you made the proper decision when you said, Lord, do with me as you see fit. You're going to put that marriage on hold. You're going to just give it to the Lord on the altar of sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Like I say, when every young girl, you go back to the days of Yiftah, and he was in this war, and he promised the Lord that whatever, when he wins that war, whatever comes out of his house, he's going to sacrifice it unto the Lord. And he thought, apparently he had a little pet dog, he kind of thought, and his emotions, and his emotional thinking, he was serious, he really wanted to win that war. And he said, Lord, whatever comes out of my house when I come back from the war, I'm going to offer that thing to you as a sacrifice. Like I say, he thought it was going to be his little pet dog, and he was willing to sacrifice that little pet dog. But see, lo and behold, his daughter. He mm-hmm. only had one daughter. And she came out, and oh, he was heartbroken because he knew that he had promised the Lord. And then he told the daughter what he promised. Well, he said he was going to, he told me you're going to have to keep your promise. And what that girl did, she put on the altar sacrifice, because back then it was customary for a girl to get married and have children. That's still the Jewish tradition today. But she put that all on hold, and she sacrificed that whole marriage, everything that she knew, and surrendered it to the Lord. And, mm-hmm. and that's what you did back in the day. Now we got Joy Unspeakable Full of Glory. We didn't just happen to come by, and we done that. We didn't just happen to be what we are today because by hook or by crook. We had to make some sacrifices. We had to make some decisions. That's why finally we're coming to the end of it all, and it'll be a blessed time when it's all over, because that's all we ever wanted in life. Something that'll have, at the end of the day, that we'll have something to show for. Mm-hmm. That we don't go through life with a missed opportunity, mm-hmm. and then we have regrets when we come to the end of the day. And that's what we looked at. When I was young, I looked at all these things, and I wanted to have a life that would count, but I didn't know it's going to cost me that much. Like to this day, we got us in the outs that you can't even see your nieces and your nephews, and you've been ousted from your family. And the same with me. We're in the out because of the sacrifices that we made and the decisions and the choices that we made. We decided we're going to do what after the Lord, what the Lord wants us to do. Mm-hmm. Just that simple.
That's right. And like that's an altar, and what you put on is a sacrifice. But then there's also like memorials. Like when you will go back to the Old Testament, and you can see that when they crossed the Jordan River, and the priests walked and they were standing there in the middle of the Jordan, and then Joshua told from each tribe someone to grab a stone and carry it over to the other side of the Jordan, and there he made a memorial with those 12 stones. He set them up when they were over at the other side of the Jordan, that when in times forward in the future, when the children of Israel, their children will walk past there, and they will ask their parents, what are these, what do these stones represent here? And then you will be able to tell them the great things that God has done for you, mm-hmm. how he delivered you from Egypt, mm-hmm. how he helped you cross over the Red Sea, and how throughout the 40 years in the wilderness, as they were wandering the wilderness, he provided for them. He gave them water and food and manna, and they were able to eat. And then coming over the Jordan, how the waters parted for them, and they were able to cross on dry foot. And you can see the great things that God had done. And he wanted their children to know the God that did that for them. And you can see that every time those children walk past there, and their parents would sit down and tell them the story. And God wanted them to do that, to help them to remember him, what he's done for them. And that's the one God. You know, they had the children of Israel had a tendency to rear off and serve other gods, and these things were there as a memorial for them that there is one God who did this, not those foreign gods of stone and wood and whatever they worship. And the same way when you will look back in your life, like you were saying, now when we look back, we can look back and we can see that Abel's was pleasing to God, whereas Cain was not.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can also look at in our and day and age, you know, what people look at as accomplished. You know, in the future generation, they will look back and they will actually say it's foolish.
Mm-hmm.
But in this society we're living in, especially the Laodicea church age, it's rich in need of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And but all in the while it says, you're wretched, naked, and blind. And that's why, because spiritually they're lacking.
Mm-hmm.
When you decide to make a name for yourself, that's really your memorial.
Yeah.
But in generations going in the future generation, when they will look at it, it's just going to be empty. There's
yeah.
nothing there. But whereas, just like that rich young ruler, like Jesus said to him, if you sell everything and take up your cross and follow me, then you will make yourselves treasures in heaven. And that's what we have done with our lives. We wanted those treasures that are accumulating in heaven. To the world, they look at us as foolish.
Yeah.
But in future generation, when they will look at it, it will be the same way as we look at Cain and Abel now.
Yeah, I was thinking about that friend of mine we went to see here last week, and that Leonard Decker, and I haven't seen him for 30 years, and we went down there to visit him, and see, like I told you the other day, there came a day when I invited them to come down to convention and see on the spiritual aspect of life. And then he he declined. He didn't want to go down there because he had other things to do. He had other ambitions. He had other dreams and aspirations. And now we went down there last week and we've seen the results of his decision. It's a gold mine he's got there. The natural thinking. You look at these buildings and you go 2-3 houses, a mansion he's built for himself there. But at the end of the day, what has he done? What did he done for the Lord? What did he sacrifice? He just did it to make himself a name and to prove that he can do something. And it's worth looking at, you know. It's not something to disregard. But he said he put his whole heart, his whole life, his whole thinking, he put into material things. Whereas you and I, we put our whole life and our whole thinking into the things of the Lord. Now he's coming to the end of the day, and we're coming up in age, and we're coming to the end of our day. And then we look back when we finally had to make that big decision. What are you going to do for the Lord, or what are you going to do for yourself? And I look at it like what he did. He just went out and built himself this humongous empire, like the best thing, good enough. And it all comes from his mind. He made that decision. That's what he's going to do. I don't know what the driving force was. And now here, for some reason or another, he's coming up in age, and he decided he's going to start up a church thing. They're going to build a church. And see, that's what happens. He's going to bring his own idea, his own ideology. And I'm not talking bad about it. It's just a decision that he, in his own mind, he made. And when I look at it, he did the same thing that Dave Waller did when he came up to a certain decision through emotions. He wanted to do something for the Lord. But he didn't go to the Lord and ask the Lord, "Lord, take my will and do with me as you see fit." No, I'm going like that Dave Waller. No, I'm going to please the Lord by making him starting up this radio ministry. But really, at the end of the day, I just want to make a name for myself. And the same thing with that Leonard Decker. He wants to make a name for himself, and he wants to make sure everybody knows about it. And then he's got this thing about, he asked me a question down there when we were sitting there visiting. He said, "If I know why Jacob put that altar there, you know," mm-hmm. "when he went there." And I didn't say nothing. I kind of figured, well, I know when you're going to tell me, it'll be your take on it, mm-hmm. your opinion on this altar that Jacob there. And then he went on to explain so that their children will know throughout generations why that altar was there. And I didn't know where he was getting it, but when I went back home, we analyzed it. Why would he bring that up? Because he was serious about that altar, and all he could come up with, that he wants to bring that altar in so that someday his children and his grandchildren will look back and they're going to see what he has accomplished for mm-hmm. them. Now, mm-hmm. that's his opinion of that altar, but what about putting your will in God's will? Because at the end of the day, the only thing, the truly thing that you can bring to the Lord is your will. Mm-hmm. Then he can do with you what he wants, just like Jesus in the garden. That big sacrifice, that big decision that he made, he didn't have to do it, but he did it voluntarily because he realized that's what his heavenly Father wants on him, and he voluntarily had to put his life on the line. "Not my will, but thy will be done." And that's the way you and I did. "Not my will. I'm not going to go down that marriage path." And that's the same way with me. "I'm going to step up. I'm going to bell that cat. I know what it's going to cost mm-hmm. me." But you put all that on the altar sacrifice, and someday you leave it with the Lord. Throughout eternity, you'll have dividends because you didn't make the right decision. But if I would have decided, "I'm not going to do that. I'm going to dream about someday becoming this big guy on the block and be a very important person," I could have gone down that direction. But I looked into biblical history. I looked into the Bible to see what become of these people that just try to make a name for themselves. Just like Nimrod back in the day. He decided he's going to make a name for himself, and he's going to build this big tower. And all along, they had access to the ark. They saw that promise that God made. There's, there's not going to be no more flood. He's not going to destroy the earth with a flood. What does he do? He goes and builds a tower, completely contrary, going against God, you know. And then that's the same thing with people today. They build themselves empires, then they build themselves altars, and it's all about themselves. It's not about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm reminded of that scripture. I don't know if it's a song of a battle, Geist is God. Trost und Zierigkeit in Haben, Ehre, Geld und Welt verachtet, vieles Wissen und Betrachten, alle diese Sachen die nicht, wo man nicht den Willen bringt. I gotta bring my will, I got ideas and opinions, and I gotta put them on the altar of sacrifice practically on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, it's all about your will. You put your will on the altar of sacrifice, and at the end of the day, you can only say one thing, Lord, thy will be done. That's why we're doing what we're doing here. Because we put our will, whatever the Lord wants us to do, that's what we'll do. It doesn't matter what it costs, because at the end of the day, that's the only thing that counts, what you've done for the Lord Jesus Christ.
See, when Jacob had to flee from Esau, because of the birthright issue there, and he took the blessing that he wanted, and so he went up to Laban, and on his way up to Laban there, he stopped at Bethel. He named it Bethel after, and he fell asleep there, and he had this dream about that ladder that went, and the angels going up to heaven. He saw that in a dream, and then when he woke up, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, but I did not realize it. See, when you will look at Jacob, he's leaving his home where, when you look at Abraham and Isaac, and that's where God was at. And here he's leaving that little part of heaven that he knows where God is at, and that, and his fathers has told him they're following where God is leading them. And here he has to flee. And then here God meets him there, and he was, and he said, I did not realize it, but God is here. And he was afraid, and he said, what an awesome place this is. This is nothing else than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early in the morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed near his head and set it up as a sacred stone. Then he poured oil on top of it. He called the place Bethel, although the former name of the town was Luz. And then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God is with me and protects me on this journey, I am taking and gives me food to eat and clothing to wear, and I return safely to my father's home, then the Lord will become my God. Then this stone that I have set up as a sacred stone will be the house of God, and I will surely give you back a tenth of everything you gave me. And so he was up for 14 some years slaving away there, and then when you will come, he came back just like he said, if I come back and I'm safe to my father's house, then I'm going to, this is going to be the God that I serve. And that's going to be the stone, that monument there. Mm-hmm. The God that helped me on my journey. So when he came back, then God said to him in Genesis 35, go up at once to Bethel and live there. Make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau. Let us go. And then he said to his family, let us go up and build an altar there to God. And then he went up and he built there an altar. And because their God had revealed himself to him when he was fleeing from his brother. See, that's when you will look at that whole picture here now about how he fled. God met Jacob there, and he said, if God is going to help me, he's going to be the God that I serve. And you can look at what God has done in our life. See, we came to the end of ourselves. I had to come to the end of myself, and I said, Lord, I've read your word. I've done everything I could, but what is I lacking? What am I lacking? And then God revealed to me that he sent a prophet. And that's what our pursuit, that's what we pursued. God sent a prophet in this day and age, and then he sent the chief apostle. We follow the way of God, that one God that revealed himself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was that God that was revealed through the ministry of Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson. And that's what we pursued. See, that's a whole different concept of when you look at it. There they build a memorial, right? But here it's actually a life. And looking back, your life will become a memorial that is what you pursued in life.
At the end of the day, that's all thing that matters to us, that we had Malachi 4, prophet. Behold, I'll send Elijah the prophet. That is why we're being hated.
Mm-hmm.
That is why we're being persecuted. That at the end of the day, we're going to tell the world as long as we live that God sent the prophet, and that's water baptism and Jesus and the things that they stood for, to open up that channel and that avenue, that word, that's our main song and dance. God mm-hmm. sent the prophet. I mean, within that, there is a sacrifice. It's not about, there's no room here to make a name for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one thing here, is to recognize the God of glory, what he's done here in these closing days of time when he sent out that angel, and then that angel took the vocal cord to Brother Branham and Brother Jackson, and we're just continuing on with the program. We got nothing else to bring. We got nothing on our own. We're born in sin. Our own righteousness is a filthy rag. We're not interested what we could do for the Lord. We're interested, Lord, what do you want us to do? Give us the direction and show us exactly what we need to do, and then we'll do it. Just that simple. But in order to do that, you have to put your will and your ambitions and your dreams and your aspirations on that ultra sacrifice so that he can use you for his honor and for his glory. That's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, and we give you thanks, Lord, for the journey that you have led us through in your word, Lord, and open up our understanding to your ways, Lord. And know what all these things represent in the Bible, that memorial, the altar of sacrifices and everything, Lord. And we're able to sacrifice our lives, Lord, so that you can do with us as you see fit, Lord, and to lead and guide us, Lord, in the ways and in your ways, Lord, and not in our own ambitions, Lord. So at the end of the day, we'll have made ourselves treasures in heaven, Lord. And that's what it all boils down to, is to have treasures in heaven, Lord. We just want to give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.